Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, reads like this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there was in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, there was a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Notice verse 3. Here a great number. Say that with me. A great number. So it's like a lot of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Verse 5. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me when enter into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone goes ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." I want to talk to you today about healing your heart. Healing your heart. Some of you, first of all, might need some healing because the Seahawks are not in the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl weekend, right? And some of you don't care, and some of you do, and some of you are just going to have a party. You don't even know who's playing, but party. You're up for the party. So I want to tell you one thing about the game today, and that is that at this big game, there's players on both sides who are injured and not able to play. There's also players who are injured, and they're gonna play injured in the game. And then there's players who will be injured while playing the game. And just like injury is a part of football, injury is also a part of life. The only way that you can be sure to not be injured is to not play. Our text paints this picture of a great number, it says, of people, broken and disabled, who were lying at the pool. And when I read that, I thought about the great number of people today. There's an enormous amount of people that's like an epidemic proportion today, of people who are broken, injured, disabled, hurting on the inside. They're what the Bible calls the brokenhearted. The word heart in Scripture is a reference to our entire soul and spirit. So when you read the word heart in the Bible, that's what it's talking about. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the inside of a person, the mouth speaks. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you read that word heart, it's about the inside. So when Scripture talks about the brokenhearted, it not only applies to people who are mourning the loss of a relationship or a loved one, like we kind of apply it today in a minimized way or definition. We, you know, because of the love songs, you know, "She broke my heart," and He broke my heart, and we had those kind of, even when we were really young and 12 and 14, and, you know, our heart got broke, and we kind of label that broken heart. My heart was, somebody broke my heart. And then we know what it is like to really have our heart broken with the loss of a friend or a loved one who passes on into eternity. And that's hard. It's hard. But I want you to see that when we read the Bible about the brokenhearted, it's not just limited to that kind of brokenness. It's wide. It's bigger than that. It's wider than that. And it applies to everyone who has been hurt and is hurting on the inside. So this month, we celebrate 10 years of, or actually this year, I should say, we celebrate 10 years of Celebrate Recovery at Champion Center. And this, what we do with Celebrate Recovery, thank you to every person involved, thank you to every leader that's a part of it, but it's all about helping people overcome hurts and habits and hang-ups. It's a 12-step program that focuses people not just on a higher power, but on the higher power. Jesus has the higher power. But here's the interesting thing that a lot of people don't know is that only about 30% of the people who attend have a chemical dependency. And a lot of people think that that's what CR is. It's for people who have a chemical dependency. They're trying to break that habit. But that's really a limited idea or perspective that I'm so grateful for, that it's much broader than that. 70% of the people who come to CR are not coming and didn't begin to come because of a chemical dependency. They're people who know that they have been hurt in life, they have been broken in life, and part of the outcome or symptom of that might have been a chemical dependency, but it includes a whole lot of different people coming to terms with healing in their life. And many of our church leaders, in fact, and team leaders in our church have found healing and found hope at our Celebrate Recovery and have stepped into their calling. So my announcement for you this week is that God can heal you everywhere that you hurt. Everywhere that you hurt. That's kind of weak right there. I don't know if I caught you off guard, but I think we can do better than that. God can heal you everywhere that, anybody believe that today? Everywhere that you hurt. He can heal you spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. He can heal you financially. He can heal you financially. It's a big one. You go through times where it all breaks down. The business plan didn't go as planned. The job didn't go through. You got laid off, and then you spent this season where it drained everything out. He can heal. I said he can heal. You made some silly mistakes, and you ran the credit cards up way too high, got yourself in debt. He's not mad at you. He can heal you and restore you back to health financially. He can heal you in your relationships. Do this for me. Look at your neighbor and just tell him this. Just make an announcement. Say, I don't have to stay hurt, and neither do you. Like just tell him, I don't have to stay hurt. I don't have to stay hurt. This is one of the most important things for you to know in life, because pain is unavoidable, but staying hurt is optional. Wow. If you're hurting today, you're in good company. But here's what you also need to know. You can look to your left, you can look to your right, you can look behind you, you can look in front of you, and there's a miracle around you right now. There's people who have had miracles, people who have had breakthroughs, people who have been healed. So we all go through things in life that hurt, cause pain on the inside, right? Some of it's very traumatic, abandonment, abuse, betrayal. And sometimes it can be as simple as not being picked for the team. But you're only 7 years old, and in your mind, that's devastating. It can be a rejection that happens from somebody. And to other people, they don't maybe think of it as a big deal, but for you, your heart was broken. Your heart's hurting. You are hurt because of that. There's young people, there's teenagers that are hurt today. And you're all over, you are all over the place. You're not alone in hurting. Everybody has hurts. We all deal with pain. Pain is unavoidable. But staying hurt is optional. Jesus said that he came. He gave his mission statement in Luke chapter 4. He said that I'm here. God has sent me. The Father sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Like, that's part of this one verse mission statement. Like, that way up at the top, in other words. So we got to get this word out, because so many people assume that once hurt, always hurt. And so many people are letting the hurt of their past mess up the hope of their future. And it doesn't have to be that way. I said it doesn't have to be that way. Let me share a couple of verses. Psalm 34 and 18 says, "The Lord is near, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit." Psalm 147 and 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds." Just because you've been hurt doesn't mean you have to stay hurt. Will somebody write me a rap? because you don't want to hear my version of it, but. And I think this is something, what I want to do for you this week is I want you to not only self-identify with the past, I want you to think about this and apply it to the present and the future. And I want you to understand life is in many ways like a football game. When you get up in the morning and you take the field in life, you are prone to injury. You are vulnerable to getting hurt. I can promise you stuff's going to happen. Things are going to go down. But the good news is you can get hurt and you can get healed. And you don't have to embrace a label just because you've been hurt. You don't have to embrace a label, a temporary incident, as your entire story. You can have a chapter that isn't your story. Unless you rehearse it, nurse it, curse it, and you make it your story. So no matter what you've been through, there's people that have been through the same or even greater pain today that are healed and healthy. And the reason I'm telling you that is because that's one of the lies that we buy into is, and someone comes to minister to us or to be a blessing, you don't know what I've been through. Like, you don't know. Like, we go to counselors and therapy and stuff sometimes, and we're like, we want to announce that I am the worst case you have ever dealt with. Like, you just do not know. Like, this is like, you've never had anybody at this level. Like we want to let everybody know, man, this is like big stuff. Like, no, I'm not just like your everyday deal. Like, but we have to all understand there are people that you would not trade places with right now. Why? Because those people are having pain that you don't have. And they're dealing with life in a way that you're not dealing with it. And then when you're given that scenario, you're okay. And it brings you back to the reality where you understand there are people who have gone through what I'm going through and they have been healed and become healthy on the other side of it. It ought to give us hope. I have a friend who got caught up in an extramarital affair. And when it came to light, his wife was devastated, understandably heartbroken, angry. He felt an amazing amount of shame, regret. He absolutely loved his wife. He absolutely loved his family, and he didn't want to lose his family, and he asked for forgiveness, and we prayed. We asked God to help us, and through that process, she decided to forgive, and he decided to give his best to it and to fight for their marriage. And as in any case like that where there is hurt, the pathway to healing is not easy. Especially when you've been betrayed at that level. Forgiveness has to be on repeat. You know what I mean by that? Like you've got a song. I don't know if you guys are that way, but Sheila and I are both this way, and we find a song that really ministers to us. We just put it on repeat. Like, and it plays over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And some of y'all are like, oh my God, that would drive me crazy. Well, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I just tell you right now, there's a song that's been playing for 3 weeks in our house, and we're not done with it yet. We're milking that baby. Like, there's something about it. There's something about that in this season for us. And that's what I mean. Forgiveness, you can't just make a decision. When the hurt is deep, you can't just say, okay, you're right, okay. Jesus' name, I forgive, and walk away. Like, because tonight it's going to come to mind again. And tomorrow morning it's going to be right back in your face. And you have to keep it on repeat. And you have to go to bed tonight saying, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for that person. They hurt me and I'm forgiving them. And tomorrow morning, I'm doing it again. And, well, how long do I got to do that? Well, Peter asked that question and Jesus said 70 times 7. In other words, like, you just keep on doing it, man. Because it's not for them that we forgive, it's for us. It's the pathway of healing. And today, that couple that I'm talking about, their relationship is restored and it's healed. They laugh, they love, they serve together in God's house. Just because you've been hurt doesn't mean that you have to stay hurt. Hey, I'm going to get into this. I'm going for it right now. There are patterns in your pain. So for the man at Bethesda, think with me about this. It had gone on for 38 years, which explains why when Jesus saw him and learned, the Bible says, that he had been in this condition for 38 years. If you're going, well, why would Jesus say, do you want to get well? Like, if that's in your mind, well, let's start right here maybe to explain it. He saw the man who had been in that condition for 38 years. So a man who had been in that pattern, in the pattern, we as humans love patterns. You might not think you do, but you do. You have your pattern. It may not be somebody else, but it's your pattern. You gravitate into what your pattern is because it becomes what we call your comfort zone. And Jesus is getting ready to challenge this man's pattern, a 38-year-old pattern. And in the same way that Jesus was disruptive to the pattern in this man's life, he also wants to disrupt the pattern that pain has created in your life. The pattern. Somebody shout, the pattern. Pattern. I promise you, if you're hurt, there's a pattern of pain in your life. Who you avoid, who you don't talk to, what you do, who you hang out with. Patterns of being drawn into wrong relationships over and over. You get out of one, you're like, I'm never doing it, and then you do it again. Hurt people are drawn to hurt people. Because they're drawn to people that feel like they feel. And then they, you know what they do? They validate one another's feelings as if they're true, as if they're the right perspective. Because you see the world like I see the world, so it must be right when both or all or 20 of them are all seeing the world through the filter of their pain. Wow. Pattern. Pattern. patterns of self-destructive choices, patterns of depression, pattern of not getting out of bed, pattern of staying in bed, pulling the covers back over your head, pattern of alcohol, pattern of overeating, you know, running to the refrigerator, especially late at night. Patterns. Everybody say, walls down.
Walls down.
Just wanted to remind you, you prayed that a while ago. Pattern of not finishing what you started. Pattern. Good starters, I never finish. Shame off you, but let's talk about patterns. Pattern of leaving. Pattern of leaving home. Pattern of leaving churches. Pattern of leaving relationships, especially when pressure gets on. Pattern of dodging pressure, walking away. Pattern in the moods. Favorite thing for a person who has mood swings, and by the way, mood swings are a pattern. It's caused by hurts in our life. And the favorite thing for a person who's in the mood swings is to just say, I don't feel like it. And that's just, that to them is an acceptable, that is an acceptable explanation. It's like, but we bought tickets to go to this. We said we were going to do this, I don't feel like it. But wait a minute, it's time to get up and go to work today. You've only been in this job for a week. I don't feel like it. When you're hurting, what you feel in the moment, in the mood that you're in, becomes your only explanation. And to you, it's good enough, and everybody else ought to accept it because that's how I feel. Patterns, patterns, patterns. Patterns of being thin-skinned. Tensing up when teasing or playfulness is going on. You've got to be careful if someone who has been hurt is in that scenario. You got a pattern of making excuses, pattern of shifting blame. It's not me, it's them. Not what I've done, it's what they did. And even right now, it's really quiet here. I don't know where you're watching from, but it's quiet in the room I'm in. Because we're identifying, we're all identifying. And we all have had at least moments and days like this, right? Seasons. I mean, even if they, in your life, you go, well, I'm not that way now, but boy, I remember. You could nod your head and say amen. Pastor, you're telling truth right now. Like, talk to us. Tell us. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm telling you out of my own experiences that there's patterns that try to set up. Patterns in the pain. Patterns in the pain. It's patterns of pain. And when Jesus comes, he will always disrupt and challenge the pattern. Because to leave you in the pattern is to leave you in your pain. I heard the story of two friends, two gals, one of them named, I'm giving them different names, Donna and her girlfriend Amy. And Donna tells Amy she doesn't want, they were good friends. She said, just she announced it one day, I don't want to be friends anymore. I don't want to hang out anymore. I don't even want you to call me anymore. And caught Amy like so off guard. And out of concern, a few weeks later, Amy texts Donna and said, hey, you don't have to answer me. I just wanted to say that I hope that you're doing well. And within moments, Donna answers the text and said, I'm so excited to hear from you. I didn't mean what I said about not wanting to be your friend. I just wanted to see if I mattered enough for you to come after me. So think about this. In the twisted pain, the hurt person thinks that it's okay for them to say hurtful things and walk away. And if the other person doesn't come after them, then they blame the other person, saying, if you cared, you would come after me. If you cared, you would make the phone call. Twist it. Twist it. Now, some of y'all are listening to me right now, and you're like, oh, no. Like, are you saying that's twisted? I'm saying that's twisted. You know why that sounds odd to a lot of people? Because there's so much unhealthy interaction going on that when we hear health, we don't know what it is. We identify sometimes being healthy as being not compassionate or not caring or not love. You know, we get all these other things on health, like to us, because we get caught up in these twisted versions of manipulation, which, by the way, is what that is. Some people don't understand this about me, and I have to be careful because I know the fact that some of you don't understand it, but I get blunt on times like this to just maybe just throw you a whole different perspective. Is that if you want to talk about WWJD, see, some people would be, what would Jesus do? Oh, he would chase her. He would chase her night and day. He would text, he would call, that's why I do what Jesus would do. Well, let me back up a minute. Back up a minute. It's not true. It's not true. A lot of people walk away from, one day, one man walked away, and Jesus looked at the rest of them and said, you guys are going to go too? You guys want to go too? Now, I'm not saying that you should never assure a friend of your love. Don't get extreme. I'm just saying to you that there's this manipulation that unhealthy people use. And when you're healthy and you see it, you have to draw the line and say, wait just a minute. I will not allow you in your lack of health to manipulate me. And I will say, if you have friends right now who are unhealthy, if you are a part of our Celebrate Recovery, one of the things that I try to help all of our leaders understand is that you and I do not have the power to help people who will not help themselves. But love is not just being like manipulated and whatever you want me to do. Love is tough sometimes. And love says, we ain't doing that. And you need help. Love does that sometimes. You need help. You got to get help or we can't have relationship. Oh, man. Some of y'all clapping. Some of y'all upset right now because you've probably been doing some of this stuff like I'm talking about. When Jesus saw that he had been in this condition or this pattern for a long time, he just asked him that question, do you want to get well? Like, do you want to be well? And what he's saying is, are you ready to abandon that pattern? 38-year pattern. And think with me. Use your mind a little bit. Just envision. Go beyond the line in the scripture and imagine real life. He had made friends around the pattern. His friends were all at the pool. The people who took him to the pool were his friends. People who brought him food were his friends. Healthier people, when they came by, they would help him, maybe give him something, support him, but they also gave him a pass. They just didn't expect him, they didn't expect much out of him other than the pattern. And maybe you've explained people, your friends, to other people. Like when they acted a certain way, you privately went to the other person, you said, they've really been hurt. And maybe people are explaining you to other people. I told you God tapped me on the shoulder this week, and I'm just doing my best to be a messenger of healing today and hope, not shame, not condemnation, hope. Somebody shout hope. Somebody shout healing. See, when you want something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done. So Jesus is kind of setting it all up and saying, do you want to get well? Because I'm about to tell you to do something you haven't done in 38 years. And your life, from that moment forward, you're going to do things you haven't done in 38 years. Are you up for this? And then Jesus boldly reached out and said to him, get up, man. Get up. Pick up your mat. Now, what we see, when we're like, yeah, miracle. Let's just pause a minute, time out. Was he healed on the ground? Like, as he lay there, muscle ripple. I don't think so. But that's kind of how we, like, he's healed. Well, in keeping with other miracles in the Bible, people were healed as they chose a new pattern. So Naaman was healed after he obeyed the prophet and went down to the muddiest river and put himself under the mud 7 times. The lepers were healed while they were on their way. Come on, talk to me today. So this man, I don't think it was like, you know, he comes out Superman all of a sudden. I don't think it was quite that way. I would think he started to try to move. He started to do the things that he had not done, that he could do. And as he did what he could do, he was able to do more. And then as he's moving more, I don't even know but what that day some people had to help him get home. But my point is that I'm thinking that there had to be a season where he is reorienting himself and pushing himself to do things different than he had done them up until now. Oh man, this is so good. How did he feel when people stopped treating him as a person in need? Because for 38 years, that's how he was treated. Was it uncomfortable? Was it like, man, you ain't bringing me no more sandwiches? Man, how come you're not showing up? And oh, what's up with that? You're not my friend no more. Like, did he go through some, like, hey, when his parents said, hey, man, we're so happy. You're going to get a job and move out of the house? Anybody understand what I'm saying? Because just like there's a pattern in our pain, there's a pattern in our healing. There's a pattern in our healing. I said there's a pattern in our healing. And when pain comes into our life, it changes us. But only you can decide how it's changing you. It never leaves us the same. Every time I felt pain, every time I felt somebody did me wrong, every time I felt betrayal, every time I feel rejection, every time I feel things like that, I do my best. Like in the very moment, I gotta get into a pattern again. I've done this pattern before, but now I got to do it again with a different round of hurt, a different round of betrayal, a different scenario involving different people, a disappointment, even like just like I'm hurting right now. Like this is hurt. Like I got to get up and preach again this weekend and I got to go through this thing and I got to keep walking by faith and not by sight. And I know people around me, like they would say, well, you're doing things. Why don't you just be real about it? Why? Because I'm developing a pattern of healing. I can't walk in the pattern of pain and be healed. I got to walk in a pattern of health to be healed. So I got to go against what I feel like doing. You can't walk by feelings. You got to walk by faith. God has something great for you. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God has a better life for you. God has a better marriage for you. God has some great things planned for you in your house, with your spouse, with your children. For years to come. But right now, he just needs you to do what you don't feel like doing and to begin to walk by faith, not by feeling. thing. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. Come on, young lady. Oh, wow. You know, this past Christmas, something happened. Let me tell you about it. We've always done Scrooge the musical for many years, and the guy who's played Scrooge and is an amazing, like, Broadway level, whatever, professional level actor, last year, in the month of December, the first time we ever took a break, and looking back, it's like, wow, like, we didn't plan it that way or whatever, but he was going through a really excruciating, painful time, and his wife passed away a year ago in December. This year, as we were like the month of October or something like that approaching, I got word that Chick had said to some of our team, you know, I can't do it this year. A year ago, December, my wife passed away. And man, it just, you know, it's going to be hard to go through the holidays without her. And to think that I would, you know, put myself in a position like that and the people around and take that weight on, I just need to not do it this year. Everyone in the house, everybody right now as I talk understands that feeling and can accept that. Like that's a no-brainer. It's hurt. I don't know why. I can't explain to you. It wasn't just impulsive, but I love this man. I've known him for many years, and I just put my heart out on a text. And I said, Chick, I want to just tell you, man, I understand you're grieving. But, you know, in your pain that you're feeling right now, please realize that it's not about us needing you. We've got other people even that play that part that are amazing. But you can have a pass. But I just feel like I need to tell you that your healing, part of your healing is in you coming back in to something that's difficult maybe for you to do, but it's the place of your gifting. It's the place of your serving. And I want to just encourage you to think about it and pray about it, that maybe, just maybe, if you'll step back in and you'll serve out of your pain, that God will use that as part of your healing. And he processed a little bit. He ended up being a part of it. On Saturday night in our service, he was in the front row here. His countenance is different. His attitude is different. And he actually texted me after service. And I didn't use him as an example in Saturday night service. But he's like, Pastor Kevin, keep telling people. Keep telling people that you don't have to stay hurt. You don't have to stay hurt. We need to hear this over and over again, Pastor. I'm giving you an example. Life hurts sometimes, painful sometimes. But it's so much the tactic and the strategy of your enemy to push you back into a corner and get you in a place where you stop a pattern of health. And when you're hurting, there's a pattern of that, and you can go the pattern of pain and hurt, or you can go the pattern of health. And I want to encourage you, there's healing in the pattern of health. If you can just put one foot in front of the other. Some of you this weekend, like if you can just say in Jesus' name, God, give me strength. I am going to move a little bit. And I am going to get up. I'm going to start rising up. I'm not going to stay here. Come on, by the grace of God. God has healing. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And that includes me. Amen. God is my healer.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.